Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude. Our coterie has been ambushed by the FBI, CSIS, and the Inquisition. Ridley escaped the bar, though he was forced to leave Harvey behind. Everett was shot in the head and carted off by a mysterious stranger. And Iris arrived at the scene and is debating taking Drac to save her unknowingly already safe friends. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
Iris, you look down into your hand. You look outside at Mayday Malone, surrounded by squad cars and police. You see the Bear Boys, some of the Bear Boys being arrested. You know your friends are inside and under threat, and you look at the vial of Drac in your hand, ignoring the, like, pair of Uzis that are kind of like cutting into your underboob in an uncomfortable way, like an underwire. What do you do?
I take a deep breath and I take the drac.
So, gents, feel free to smoke them if you got them, because I think we have ourselves an Iris Dunn episode.
Why do I not feel any more relaxed?
Iris, you throw back. You taking one vial or two?
Take more than one.
I think I need to take both of them if I'm going to do this.
I had not considered that.
We have a variation on a soda stream called a sparkle that you pour like chemical packets into to make the fizzies. And today the first one didn't work, so I had to put in two. And oh boy, did I have a super fizzy beverage after. So I've just been thinking about how effective doubling the dose of something is.
So dare I say this? Does Iris sparkle a la Twilight?
No.
Does double drac yield Twilight sparkle?
No.
Like because of the sparkling water bit? I don't think so.
Yep. Look at Tom.
Look, I'm not going to say it does, but I'm not going to say it doesn't. In the same way that, like, it never says that Dorothy's slippers are ruby slippers, but the movie made them ruby slippers. So now when you think of those slippers, you assume they're ruby colored. So I'm not going to say she sparkles.
Magical girl Iris Dunn transformation sequence.
She is the one, Iris Dunn.
Melier's like, yeah. The horrifying monster lunges.
Emily is her tuxedo mask. Honestly, I'm kind of into this version of this story. All right, so Iris, you throw back two vials of drac, and for a second, your vision clouds, and you find yourself in the same mental space you were when you tried to become a blood god that one time. But you kind of have a moment almost of like falling back into that. And then you stand up and kind of straighten up, lower your head and just start stalking forward out of it. And then suddenly you find yourself fresh air and rain hitting your face. You're wearing like there's some kind of weird outfit that you're shrugging off. Like there's just something kind of a little bit uncomfortable. And as you kind of shrug your shoulders, you hear heavy metal hit the ground. And looking down through kind of a pulsing blood red haze, you see the door of a cab fall off your shoulder as your limbs begin to pop and twist, and you can feel them elongating. It's no longer just your fingers. It's your forearms and your arms and your legs. You feel your knees invert. It's uncomfortable, but suddenly you feel very grounded and suddenly very able to move. As you stalk towards a number of cops who are turning and looking up at you, which is odd because a lot of people don't look up at you, and kind of doing that classic like Godzilla thing where they look up a little bit and start to shake with guns, you hear the voice in your head again say, "Oh, you're back already? Oh, wow. You know, first time we met, I kind of assumed that you weren't looking for this, but you're looking for this?
I need this right now.
Oh, good. Let's go to work. Iris, give yourself the temporary boosts we had talked about previously to strength, brawl. You doubled your dosage on this one, so I'm also going to give it to you for melee and...
So you gave me... I put my strength up to 4, my brawl up to 2, so then melee up to...
So you put your brawl up to 2?
Well, I had none beforehand.
Yeah. But you've doubled your dose. So put your strength to 5, your brawl to 4, and your melee to 4. I'm going to need you to lose, fully block out, 1 point of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have disadvantage on mental checks.
Okay.
Because you're raging. So Iris, having fully become the spooky monster who shows up at the end of movies, mm-hmm. There are three squad cars in front of you and a few terrified police officers raising guns. What do you do?
How aware am I? Am I full rage or do I have some
this time reasoning? This time you actually have reasoning okay. for a couple of reasons. So you have disadvantage on mental stuff only because like you are super jacked up. And think of this again as like a caffeine rush mm-hmm. rather than like being drunk or something. It's like just a full blast of like energy and power.
Can I toss a cab?
So you burst out of the cab. So the cab is wrecked behind you. If you want to toss a squad car, you can attempt to.
Yeah, I'm probably going to try to toss a squad car in their general direction without trying to hit them. I just want, like, they're police officers. I don't feel like they have anything to do with this. So I kind of want to get them out of the way.
I gotcha. Okay. So you are currently standing about 7 feet tall. But you've kind of got vaguely slender man proportions in that your arms are very long, your neck is slightly elongated, your jaw has dropped out again to the large fangs. That said, all of this is happening pretty quickly, so you're not quite there yet. It's kind of happening as you move. If you're going to want to toss a squad car, I'm going to say that's athletics and strength. I'm not going to give you bonuses to athletics only because you've gotten better at slashing and killing. That doesn't necessarily mean you're better at like sports.
Coordination.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, coordination's probably a pretty big problem for you right now.
Three successes.
Yeah. I mean, that works for throwing a car. So you get your spindly hands under it. You just flip the cop car up. I'm going to roll for them to dodge. We'll see how they do. Well, I'm rolling this. Actually, no, that's too much for me to roll and also narrate. Okay. So two of them get out of the way. One of them gets hit, fairly squarely by the car.
That's okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is and it isn't. So I rolled a D6, to determine, which of these cops was Billy Kincaid. On a one or two, the cop who gets hit by the car is Billy Kincaid. And my friends, that's a hot one.
You don't know who Billy Kincaid is.
No, she has no clue who that is.
I don't know who he is.
So one cop just gets like clocked by the car and sort of crushed under it as the car rolls away. But the rest scatter. The Bear Boys who are against the wall do that like hilarious perp run thing where their hands are handcuffed behind them, but they like start kicking and running. There's just kind of mass chaos, and you hear gunshots from inside. So you begin to stalk your way inside. Meanwhile, on the police scanner in the squad car, Ridley, are you driving or is Chonky driving? You're driving, I think.
Ridley would drive, yeah.
Right. Over the police radio, you hear kind of like a... there seems to be a hymn playing over the radio. You hear someone just say, "Hello, this is Sister Valerium Canpos. It would seem our operation has become slightly more complicated, which is most unfortunate, but it would truly please the Lord and all of us here at the Institute if you would kindly send any sympathetic units to this particular address. It would seem things are getting rather messy, which is most unfortunate. So all available units in our particular diocese, if you could please make your way there and put down any remaining abominations, that would be most appreciated. Praise be, and good luck."
So I think at this point, Ridley just like pulls over with a screech. And he's like, "Oh, fucking ass. Fight it, fucking Everett!" Because he would assume if he heard there's still an abomination on site, it's Everett probably trying to like save police lives and be classy. So he's like, "Fucking hell, we got away and everything." And he looks to the cop in the back, Because I'm imagining the one that he fought is dead, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the one Chonky beat up is just in rough shape.
Cool. How big are these cops, Tom? Is it possible to do an outfit switcheroo?
Yeah, but you'd look like me when I was still trying to get away with large button-ups. So, like, you can do it, but you're going to have some of them poppy buttons.
What about Chonky?
Chonky's bigger than you.
I know. That's why I was checking. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking hell. All right. So, yeah, he'll fucking get out the back and he'll, like, put on the dead guy's clothes when he's talking to the other guy.
Well, like, Chonky, like sort of, like, raises a hand. And Chonky's also a little bit fucked up because he's still relatively new at this. He says, wait, sir, are you trying to dress up as a cop to go back there and try and sweet talk him?
Well, I wouldn't say sweet talk. I'd say, you know, maybe ultraviolence. We'll see.
You know, listen, the boys are pretty good at ultraviolence. We got a bunch of us just out there patrolling. Why don't we call them in?
Okay, yeah, okay. Fucking, you call them if you've got a phone. I got white pants. That's all I fucking got. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. As long as they didn't start killing anyone, this whole thing can kind of go away. But the moment they start fucking killing people, we have to kill fucking everyone. And then we got to disappear.
Sir, I think that's what I'm suggesting. You know, all the boys would die for you and what you've done for this neighborhood. Do we want to send them in?
Fucking hell.
They can make it look like it's... we've been hanging around the bar a bunch. We can make it seem like it was us. Maybe buy you guys some time to move, and then all we need to do is come up with an alternate identity and rejoin you somewhere else.
Yeah, fucking do it. We got to get everybody out. But make sure TJ gets out okay? That fucking old cunt didn't ask for none of this.
Yeah. And he just pulls out a burner phone and looks at it and says, sir, this is where your gang. You want to make the call?
Oh, fuck, yeah, we'll all right. Punch it in and then we'll talk to the boys.
So he punches in... it's an iPhone, so he like hits like a merge call, and it just keeps hitting merge call. Sorry, this is gonna take another second here. It just keeps hitting merge call.
Ridley's trying to shove himself into pants that don't quite fit.
Yeah, he's like, all right, sir. Sorry for the dicks. That's usually how I keep track of everybody. Here you go. And you look at a merge call phone, and like, admittedly, a lot of the profile pictures are people's junk, but you know, it's all very impressive.
I like it. Hello, boys. It's the Riddler. This is one of those calls you hope you never have to make. But things went to shit. Everett's all fucked. Fucking TJ's in shit. And we're surrounded by fucking coppers. And fucking weird, Jesus-loving, fucking vampire-murdering assholes. So what I need you to do is to fucking big ugly. I need everyone to go in there. We need to wipe out the fucking coppers. And everybody needs to go to fucking ground. We'll pull the boys back together through Chonky. He knows where you're at. I'm going to tell him to fucking disappear because he knows how to find you. We'll make a new version. You ain't going to be the Bear Boys. You're going to be something fucking better. And I'm going to find you so much fucking money. We're all going to the fucking Bahamas, boys. But let's send some men to hell before we get there. Fucking do it.
And then he just like hangs up.
And like a single tear of blood rolls down Chonky's and then he wipes it and like he reaches up to his forehead and there's like blood from the guy beat up. He's like, oh yeah, still not used to not being able to cry, but that was beautiful, man.
Oh no, I love you, Chonky. You handsome bastard. All right, take the phone and you gotta disappear. I can't lose you in this battle. You're the only one who knows how to find the boys.
All right, sir. I'll find you.
And he like takes a deep breath and he's like, I know he's kind of like my dad now or something weird like that, but don't die for Everett. Got a bad feeling about that guy.
That is a very good reminder, my friend. All right, now you get out of here. And you.
He just turns to the cop in the back fucking seat who's just sitting there and he's like, who the fuck was that lady on the radio? And what the fuck is going on? You got 3 seconds for answers.
And he looks at you with wide eyes. And Ryan, I'm going to need you to roll a intimidation and manipulation, please. Meanwhile, Iris... You burst through the now there's no door on TJ Malone's anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You burst in having to duck a little bit to get through the door. And there are a bunch of sort of like heavily armored SWAT guys. There's about six of them There were three agents slumped over in the corner with a spray of skull and blood dotting the wall behind him is the limp corpse of TJ Malone. What do you do?
Kill them all.
Okay, let's roll some dice. Miles, I'm going to need strength and melee, please. I will point out the karaoke songs are still playing since Everett hit them. They haven't figured out how to turn it off. Tyler, what is currently playing?
Let's continue to be too on the nose and say it's Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Also, I know it exists. I haven't heard it, but oh my God, the karaoke backing track for Let the Bodies Hit the Floor must be a true delight.
Oh, I have heard it. And it is. Because I went to karaoke. Tyler, you were there, weren't you? We did a...
It's possible. We did a
reunion of the Bachelor Bachelorette in Niagara. And we went to an outdoor karaoke place. And this fucking 50-year-old woman in a leather jacket went up and did...
She fucking killed it.
Just crushed 4.5 minutes of Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. It was the best thing I've seen in my life.
Yeah,
that's right. Ridley would have given her all of his powers and walked away.
I mean, one, nothing wrong with her. Two, nothing wrong with her. Three, nothing wrong with her. Four, nothing wrong with her. Miles, what'd you roll?
5 successes, 2 are 10s.
And still no hunger.
No hunger.
Much disappoint.
Sorry.
Tom, does Drac cause blood to disappear?
Don't. You horning in a...
Actually... Ryan.
Shut your face.
Hi there. I'm Tom McGee, and I love stories. And odds are, if you're listening to our shows, you do too. So, if you're wondering how you can help support our storytelling and world building and these wonderful characters and their sometimes ridiculous journeys, you can head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. There you'll find a variety of different levels and different perks, starting from as low as $1, which gets you into our Patreon-only Discord, where you can talk about the latest episodes, all the twists and turns, and just generally hang out with some truly lovely people. There's a whole variety of levels with everything from advanced episodes, ad-free feeds, to, of course, at our $25 level, getting to create your very own character who appears in some of our shows and sometimes becomes a long-running friend or foe of our characters. So, if you want to get involved, if you want to help us tell more of these stories, then head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. And help us create more of these fun adventures together.
Hey everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumdumdice.
Where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us in our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the Dumbverse.
Yes.
Ryan.
Miles, you can't roll 3 tens and not get a messy successy on Drac.
I got 2 tens.
That's all you need. Also, you kind of want a messy success.
Okay, sorry, what do you... Okay, no, sorry. I don't have any hunger.
Miles, what you do is you remember this moment.
No.
You store it deep down inside, and you fucking shit all over Ridley's parade one day.
Miles. No. A messy successy happens when you get a 1 and a 10.
No, two dude, tens. It's 2 tens.
It's and I would when argue... you get a 10 with a hunger die.
I don't have hunger die.
You are being Thomas? Assigned hunger die in real time right now.
You know
now.
What?
No. That's not in the mechanics. No.
Okay, fine. You know what? You just get a very good success against all the people you're trying to kill.
Great.
Yeah. Really, Ryan, wouldn't want a messy successy right here, right now.
I think it would have made sense, but I'm not objecting.
Okay, so you know what? You just get a regular critical success. And you begin to tear people apart.
That's all I want.
Successfully and messessfully. So you just succeed in a messy way, killing people all around you. But that said, because you refused a messy successy, which would have helped you in this situation, you kill two people. Everyone else turns and opens fire on you. So I'm going to need a dexterity and... Well, actually, this is a good question, Miles. Would you try and dodge gunfire, or would you just kind of stalk through it at this point, given that you're kind of a tall murder machine?
I try and stalk through it.
Okay. Set your survival to 4, and then I'm going to want, please, a stamina and survival. I know your stamina hasn't really gone up, but also given that you're like a weird Slenderman creation, I feel like stamina isn't exactly in your wheelhouse, but survival would be.
Well, for whatever reason, I had stamina at 3, so.
Oh, that's very good. Iris is just in good shape.
Yeah.
She fit.
One success.
Oh boy. Okay. Take 4 points of superficial damage to your health.
Okay.
As literally everyone left just turns and starts pumping ammo into you. It's one of those classic people shooting. I mean, it usually happens in a Resident Evil game. Everyone turns their guns on the big spooky monster. The big spooky monster kind of doesn't care. But, you know, what else are you going to do when you've got machine guns? So, Iris, you've torn two people in half. The demon says, your body seems to be deteriorating a bit. Are you all right?
I'm holding up.
Oh, okay. That's good to hear. You are a better vessel than I expected, I must say.
I'm stubborn.
Mm, that's good quality. Shall we kill one of the ones with the machine guns next?
Seems right.
Excellent. Hey, do me a favor. Can you bleed into his mouth a little bit?
I can try.
So, Miles, I will give this to you as a choice Iris can choose to do or not do. Do you attempt to bleed into the mouth of one of these guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm furious.
Yeah, no, legit. Again, that's why it's a choice. There's no trick here, ish.
I'm just clarifying.
You reach out with spindle fingers, grab one of the like the guys who isn't wearing a helmet, and just kind of like hold him under you and just full on horror movie like vomit blood into his mouth, and you see his eyes go black, and black veins spread across his face like he's Dark Willow from Buffy, and then kind of almost in a kind of vaguely broken puppet way, he turns and just starts firing his pistol at the people behind him, and as he opens his mouth, kind of a blackish tar seems to drip between the roof of his mouth and his jaw, and you hear the voice say, "Oh, that's the good stuff. Honestly, none of them are as good as Kindred, but you know, we'll make do." So he shoots two of his unarmored compatriots, and then shoots himself in the head.
Yay!
Ridley,
2 successes on intimidating the police officer.
He just says, listen, that lady, she apparently, my boss told me she's really important and that we had to listen to her. She's part of some like secret task force or something. It might be some QAnon stuff. I don't know.
All right, who's your boss? What's her name?
My boss, that would be, Detective Farnsworth.
You got a first name for Farnsworth?
Of course they do. Everyone has a first name. It's Captain Kennebec Farnsworth.
Kennebec Farnsworth. Excellent. And then I eat him. I just drain him fucking bone dry. Ah! I need it all, for I am hungry and injured. And then basically I just want to shove his corpse into the passenger seat, and I want to drive back, race back to the scene of the crime. Back to okay. TJ's.
So you pull up at the back. You see a couple cops with shotguns leaning against their car. Mid-conversation, we're like, well, I mean, I just didn't expect him to steal. Oh, shit, he's back! And then they turn and...
Oh, man, I wore such a nice outfit.
You did. But unfortunately, they saw you when you left. So...
Reasonable.
They open fire with shotguns. I'm going to need to see if you can get out of the way of this, or are you just going to muscle through?
Muscle through, probably, because he's got his like vampiric toughness that he definitely would put on the moment he was approaching the scene.
Okay. So stamina and survival then, I guess, bud.
Stamina and... survival. Cool. Yeah, let's see what we got. That is one success.
Okay, so take 2 points of superficial.
Okay.
As you're kind of sprayed. Admittedly, you're like running toward them, so shotguns aren't super effective, but they kind of spray you with shot as you rush. Are you going to ignore them and go for the door, or are you going to deal with these two guys?
I'm imagining I can see that there are a ton of dead bodies all over the place and hear like
you're not in yet.
No, but can I hear it like through the windows? Are there people hit with cars and shit outside, right? Like, what am I seeing out here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, Iris would be in the middle of her killing spree, but it's on the main floor. You're out back near the basement.
I get horror movie gun flash in windows and giant shadows moving kind of thing.
Well, no, because the way I'm imagining this, the back entrance is like the back entrance to a lot of bars and restaurants where it's just kind of like a nondescript, non-windowed wall, basically, with like a booze access and like a heavy metal door. So I don't think you're getting much of the violence from inside. But you did hear it on the radio, so you know it's happening. It's just...
Yeah, no, they've got weird Inquisition shit. This is a kill everybody scenario. So no, he's just going to murder these fucking cops.
All right, go ahead with that.
They hit him with a light grenade. He doesn't have time to fuck around.
I mean, these guys didn't. They just shot you with shotguns.
Same. They're all on a team. Fuck them.
All right, strength and brawl.
Great.
And while you're rolling that, we'll cut back inside. So, Miles... Iris is new to the spindly monster murder game. How do you imagine her attacking this room looks like? Like, what do you think she's doing? Because I don't feel like she's like tactically like running around being like, this one's the strong one. What do you think her approach to murdering this room is?
She probably starts with being pretty flaily and just like knocking people back. Mm-hmm. And then starts to kind of like, try to be a bit more surgical with like ripping body parts off or like going for the heart or like slashing at their heads.
Right. So kind of the more you work your way kind of into the essentially like the body of this monster you're now controlling. At first it's kind of like, what am I doing? But as
she's testing her range, I start by testing my range and like just giving myself space. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to become like, once I figure out how to use or what the capabilities are, like being a bit more precise.
Okay. I think for ease of narrative, Miles, I'm going to get you to roll, please, 3 separate attack checks and just mark down what you get because I'm going to cut back to Ryan in a sec. Okay. But strength and melee, I think, given that you're now getting less brawly and more tactical about what you're doing. So if you could just chart those for me and then I'll cut back to you in a sec.
The same roll 3 times?
Same skill set. That said, for clarity of purpose, you took 2 vials of Drac, so I'm going to give you 2 points of hunger.
Okay.
Great. So go ahead and roll with that. Ryan, what did you get?
Cool. I got 6 successes on 6 die.
Oh, man. You're fighting 2 regular humans. What happens to these 2 humans, Ryan?
I think it's even simpler than his usual style, because he's not sure how much of the murder that's been going on has been boys on cops or vampires on cops. So this is, I think he comes in and it's just shotgun to the first guy and just crack him across the chest with it, then crank it up and use the thumb to blow the next side cop's head off, and then spin it around and blow the head off the guy on the ground with the shotgun. So that they died by human means. And then he'd have to like go and basically try to like do that, like listen at the door, ready for somebody to come out the storage door. And then if he doesn't hear anything, then he'd give that like throw a fucking badge in off his police shirt.
You hear nothing.
Okay, then he's going in gun up. This is charge time.
You like run in shotgun up, and as you hit the base of the stairs, you trip. And something gooey sticks to your boot, and you turn around to see a charred body reaching out to you, and through a burnt throat, you just hear, "Help!
Oh, fuck me. All right, Harvey. You got to stay here, brother. I've got to get you fuck it. You want to eat fucking cats? You cunt."
He's just livid they don't have any fucking cats. All right, then. Fuck, he can't leave Harv here. Harv's on Team Vampire. Harv is Everett's, it's like his son and Everett's half-son.
Also, got a little bit of a crush going, so like, you know.
Yeah,
we're all shipping it. Save the man.
Power dynamic's weird, but he's kind of into it. Can he pick him up without like fucking breaking him?
Yeah, you can pick him up, but it's like someone who's just covered in burns. So like you pick him up and you feel that horrible, like when you've roasted a marshmallow too long and it gets that like burnt skin that slides around a bit. Like you get that feeling as you pick him up.
Great. I mean, that I'm not great, but he's in my hands now. I would carry him out and put him in the cop, like, because there's got to be.
Well, the guys you just killed had a car.
Yeah, we'll take the undamaged cop car. No one knows. We'll put him in that.
Yep.
Probably backseat so he can lay out, and I'll like close him and be like, "I'll be back. Fucking, I don't know, make cat sounds. Maybe one will come to you." And then he'll fucking go back into the bar.
All right. So we're going to leave you at putting him into the car, and then perfect. We'll see what ends up happening with Miles' super role. Also, Tyler, thanks for hanging out, bud. Sorry you're shot in the head and vaguely out of commission for a hot sec, but appreciate your patience.
I feel like making decisions is the worst thing that could happen to a player in this game, so take me out of the whole fucking show, man. I'm great. This is fantastic.
All right, Miles, how'd you do?
So the first row was 7 successes.
Jesus Christ, you
Why
monster.
Do we even bother playing a game? All right, yeah, cool. What's the next one?
3 successes, and I got 2 ones. One was red, one was white. I don't know if that matters with failures.
It does, but go okay. on.
And then the third one was 5 successes.
Okay. My friend, you rolled a bestial failure,
right.
Which is fascinating. So you begin to kill your way through the room, and as you are hacking and slicing and spraying, for a moment, the fog clears, and as it so often does, and so unfortunately does, as you look at the Warhol, or not Warhol, the Pollock-esque blood splatter on the walls, the fog that has enveloped you since you became a kindred passes, and the haiku form falls away. And for a moment, you realize you actually have full control of your artistic faculties. As you do this, your body stops mid-murder, and a half-eviscerated body slips off your fingers. As you begin to consider mortality, but also power and success. And also your mind is flooded with images of trees and of endless forest and nature teeming with creatures of what seems to almost be an untouched natural world. Your mind is flooded with images of smoke rising under fish that has been strung out over planks of wood, of small wooden vessels traveling through water, of people fighting you. And then your mind sees those people start to be attacked by other people, people that you can control and manipulate. And you see the furry things that always kept you at bay start to just fall away. And slowly but surely, the world's starting to make sense. You also feel the weight of Earth around you, of being trapped under what seems to be a mountain. But all these things are just inspiring you and feeding you. Miles, I'm not going to put you on the spot for coming up with what this poem is right now, but Iris suddenly has a poem in her head that is crystal clear. With a bestial failure as a toreador, you become fascinated by art. And usually it's like something beautiful around you, but for you, it's suddenly having access to your creative faculties again. What does that feel like for Iris?
I think it's pretty overwhelming. She's kind of frozen a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At which point you, again, a body slips off your fingers and you hear the voice in your head say, "Get out of my head." And then you feel an intense pain in your chest. And it's bothersome because, you know, it's interrupting the flow of your thoughts. And you look down to see a woman with a broken SWAT helmet holding a pool cue. A pool cue that has been driven deep into your chest. And suddenly the inspiration leaves. And so does your consciousness as you fall into torpor and your body on its back hinged knees collapses into a slick puddle of all of your victims. Unfortunately, a few victims too short.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Meggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's logos are by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by High Angle, and all our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar. That's JAHZZAR. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We've also got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon of Darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.